Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Daniel Prue, and joining me, as always, are my two buddies. Got Darren and Philip. Guys, I'd ask you how you're doing, but I already know the answer, because that's how this works now. We just know everything. This changes the whole world. You guys are doing great. Everybody's fantastic. What can we even talk about?
I mean, I guess I can dumb it down to using my primitive verbal communication for us to have this conversation, but I guess we can do that.
That's very kind of you. That's very kind of you. But, you know, for those who can't maybe see with their
minds. Daniel, how could you think that?
How has your week been? Anything been going on? Anything exciting or what's going on?
A few things. Nothing exciting. Of course, it was holiday weekend, but nothing really. But Star Trek wise. So, you know, I was accidentally, that's weird, right? I was accidentally out during Black Friday, but it was just like we were on holiday and we just happened to be like.
You get into a store and you're like, oh no, it's that day.
But I went to a used bookstore. I was in Asheville, North Carolina. And because I'm me, I always have a bag of books that I've read or, you know, am done with because I want to clear the shelf for the new batch that doesn't have a room yet. So I've started keeping it in my car just so, like, whenever I know. But I'm like, you know what? I'm sure there's a used bookstore here. So I did. And I ended up getting, like, $32 in credit. Wow, that's unheard of. And I even spent it all. Crazy. That's even more unheard of. But what I ended up buying, not that one, because there's a comic book store next to it. See, it all blends together. But I ended up buying the Star Trek Picard issue number one. Because I was looking for Umbrella Academy, which is my book club. Book club is doing a graphic novel this month. But anyway, and so wife pointed out, hey, there's Star Trek Picard. I was like, oh yeah, I was thinking about maybe getting it digitally, but it's right there. So why not support your local comic shop? And so, I mean, long story short, I won't go through the whole thing. But it's interesting. I'm engaged. I think the characterization is good. It's sort of a, I don't know the exact timeline, but it's sort of set during Admiral Picard's time. So probably, X years after Nemesis. And so, like, LaForge is a commander, and he's in charge of, I think, rebuilding the fleet or something. But anyway.
So this is post Enterprise Picard. He's no longer the captain.
Exactly. Yeah, he's Admiral Picard. He's on the they've alluded to who the captain of the Enterprise is, but they haven't stated who it is yet.
So who do you suspect?
Well, it's not Geordi. So there's it's either Worf or Data, presumably.
Okay.
Presumably, right? Right. Exactly.
We didn't read.
Yeah. And then because I know, and it's interesting. Like, so this is canon, right? Because I mean, this is a sort of a countdown. If you will. It doesn't say countdown, but
it's supposed to be.
But it's the journey to, the next thing.
Picard. So, yeah, and it is all about, unsurprisingly, the preparing for the Romulan supernova, and Admiral Picard's mission is to evacuate the Empire.
That's a pretty big mission.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. So it is confirming a few different things that we kind of suspected.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any major revelations, or should we keep that in spoiler territory? I don't know.
No, I mean, because it's just the first issue. It basically, the long story short, and I think this is an interesting way to tell the story, because, you know, what little we've thought about the supernova and Romulus being destroyed and all that, you know, and whatever everyone has thought about that, like, doesn't that seem, but the story is, of course, is that the Romulans have been hiding this. That's why this is suddenly just happening, because they're not telling anyone.
So they knew
Romulans.
Their son was going to go Nova,
but they don't
want to
tell anyone, because secrets are then secrets are then secrets are then secrets. Mm. And so now, even with the Federation doing this evacuation effort, there's rules that the Empire has for, they're not going to tell them, oh, here's our entire Empire and here's who lives everywhere.
Right.
So it's like, oh, you can go to this world, but don't ask any questions. And, and so sort of there's a insurrection type plot. When Picard's evacuating this one world and discovers that there's a native population. Hey, you didn't tell us there was a native population. We were going to move like 1,000 people. Now there's like 5 million people to move. And the Romulans are like, screw them. We don't care about them. Picard's like, well, I do. And that's was sort of the conflict with
the line must be drawn here. As far, no farther.
So is, I have just a few questions. Is Spock featured at all?
Not yet. I did think about that. Like, I suppose you could never mention Spock, but then why would you not? You don't have to show him, presumably.
Well, we know eventually he's going to pilot the jellyfish, which was
right.
supposedly to stop. But then, I mean, if I'm remembering my 09 correctly, it happens early.
Countdown.
Like, right. it's not... I didn't read the transition comic to the 09 film, but I thought that it was like, oh, it accidentally... For some reason, it triggered early and then ended up destroying and wiping
maybe,
out
like I said,
lot.
Maybe it's because the Romulan secret nature that they, you know... And it's not that...
They're trying to work it so their political enemies are still on the planet or something?
Well, I've also... I mean, I only read the issue once. I think it's something that does bear a second or third reading, unlike most comics, I think. But because not only the Romulan is going to keep it secret from everyone else, Romulan society in and of itself is secretive. So they're going to... You know, keep it hidden from each, and so, yeah.
But it'd just be interesting, and maybe even, I don't know, I guess I'd have to think about it. I was going to say lazy, but I don't know. If this same event was, like, the biggest failure for both Spock and Picard, I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about that, but I guess we'd have to see.
Yeah, because something has to happen for him to leave Starfleet.
Yeah,
well, it doesn't necessarily
for him,
have to
like,
be
making a disagreement or something. Yeah,
and I feel like the trailers, and of course, I'm reading into it, which is dangerous. I'm reading into something happened, which caused him to second guess himself, and that's why he left. It doesn't have to necessarily be a big thing where, like, you know, a whole planet died. Or, you know, it just could just be like a decision was made, or something, a missed opportunity, and he's just like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm not doing any good anymore.
Was there any clarification? We had a whole show about this not too long ago. Was there any clarification about the Data B4 situation?
No references to any Android, so not okay. idea. The one thing, uniforms, which I feel like there's records of this. I've been saying for like a year and a half they were going to be Star Trek Online based. These are very Star Trek Online based. Because, I mean, this is not that future. I mean, I'm guessing out of my butt here, but like 10 years from Nemesis or 5 years from Nemesis, you know, so...
What was it? Yeah, the because in the 09 comic series, didn't it did have Data as the captain of the Enterprise or before Data?
Wasn't the one where it was all Data's, and or maybe I'm mixing up comics.
I don't remember.
Oh, that series of that anthology Star Trek series that was really good, and they stopped. We would have like three different Star Trek stories in the comic, but it would be from different crazy eras. I forget.
Yeah,
that was a really good series. Whatever that was,
but.
I'm pretty sure it was Data as before as Data was captain
like he
of
had,
the Enterprise.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that's what it was too.
Yeah,
because we saw him on the bridge. Because Picard wouldn't be the captain because he's admiral now.
And then just another quickie, not to change subjects. I went to a more local toy store the other day after church. Cool. It's small, but it's cool because it's just all 90s stuff. But I ended up getting a Star Trek figure. What could I possibly not have? Well, I have my engineering set, which if I turned my camera here to my two comrades, they would see, which I've had Lonely Geordi. And, you know, like I said, he needs some help. So...
Did you buy a Barclay for Geordi?
I bought a Barclay for
Geordi. Yeah, I called it.
It was a Black Friday sale, even though it was Sunday. And so I got him for like $7 or something, or $6 or something. Probably... Does it cost when he was made? But anyway, so yeah, I have a Barclay there in engineering helping out Geordi.
Nice.
Hey, Barclay would be a cool character to follow up with in Picard. That'd be fun.
Although we did get a lot of him in Voyager.
Voyager.
Yeah, we did.
Some would say. No,
well, hey, we got a lot of Seven in Voyager. We're still getting some of her in Picard. So.
True.
And then what about you? Ordered
go ahead.
One more doll furniture. I'm forgetting what it was. Because I know they're the people I go through. I'm going to keep mentioning them, even though they're awesome. They have a TOS refit command chair, and I have the Playmates Captain Kirk from the Generations one that I think would be cool for him. But about something other than blanking, why? Anyway, so I have more doll furniture coming. I'll post it on my Insta, as the kids say, when it comes.
And what about you, Darren? Anything exciting going on this week?
Yeah, I mean, Mandalorian's still chugging on, and Star Wars is getting ready for, Yeah, our big countdown.
I'll tell you what.
Parade.
I want to say one thing about the Mandalorian. No matter how much you would want to avoid one specific spoiler,
you cannot.
If you exist,
it is
on
everywhere.
The internet,
oh, yeah. I've avoided it. I've noticed you're
it
talking
has been
about.
So memeified. Okay. Really, I would be shocked. I would be shocked.
All I've seen is the meme is the. I don't even know the characters. The bounty hunter. Does he have a name?
He's called the Mandalorian.
Oh, that's literally. I thought that was.
That's
like,
literally. He's
okay.
He doesn't have a name. He's the. It's very Western. Like the man with no name comes into town. I mean,
it's
one of the episodes
is like Mandalorian, and it's always.
Well, one of the episodes is very Magnificent Seven. Like okay. My wife was watching it. She's like, "Dear Lord, it's the." I mean, not in a bad way, but just it's the Magnificent Seven.
But the meme is him on the ground, and then the I guess a woman bounty hunter on the ground, and then you have Baby Yoda in the middle, just like chilling.
Oh, that's the quote unquote spoiler I'm talking about.
I don't know what's right. being spoiled.
Just the fact that there's that exists is a thing. That's a thing. That's
okay.
a spoiler.
Okay, this is how we got him. We had him listen to our Star Trek podcast, and we spoiled Star Wars for him.
I didn't know what's got spoiled. There's a baby.
I mean, again, at this point, I think it's already permeated pop culture to the point of, you know, ridiculousness. But anyway, sorry, Darren, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, just waiting, counting down to Star Wars. A big. I'm going with a large group to the Chinese theater, which is always fun. That has a special spot for Star Wars fans.
It's like a week or two now, right?
It's the 19th. So
wow, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Like 18 days. It's going
to
be a lot
what?
Of fun. But yeah. But
until the movie.
Until it all ends.
Oh, Rise of the Skywalker
ends.
Or whatever it's called.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Until it all ends until next year.
I don't. And again, I mean, I know it's not my fandom, so you could just discount my opinion. I know, but I don't feel like there's that big of a buildup. Is it just me?
No, I mean, there's the normal amount of buildup. It's, again, it's one of those things where Star Wars is still big, but I feel like they're kind of playing with the rule book of a pre-Marvel world. You know, it's like, if I were to judge now, I mean, Star Wars is the longer aged property, but if you were to ask an average person, you know, are they more excited for the next Marvel movie? Or look at it this way. Were people excited to see Endgame or, you know, the culmination of this or The Rise of Skywalker, the culmination of that? It's not even on the same level. I mean, and it doesn't necessarily have to be. And it did sell really well. It's gearing towards being a huge release. But it's just, you know, it's just what it is. And I still think it's a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing what story they're going to tell us.
Yeah, so I think someone who's a bit more in the middle on this, I think I've experienced Star Wars burnout. Like, I kind of don't care anymore.
Other
than
for Mandalorian.
Well, I didn't have Watchmen because I feel that it's... I
That's
agree
everywhere.
With the burnout feel, but it's also... Like, it didn't have to be that way. Like
yeah.
You look at Marvel. I mean, we're getting so many films per
and TV
year
now.
But yeah. There was variety that I think helped it.
So going outside of a trilogy. But even
well,
with...
And
I don't
think that Star Wars has had a plan. Like, it feels like they're just... It's like...
Yeah.
Everything in the barrel, like, let's just try. Whereas obviously Marvel is constantly building up towards something or like introducing something new. It feels like Star Wars has been like literally running and, you know, spinning its wheels. Just like that's all it's doing is like it doesn't even know what it wants to be or where it wants to go. And I think that's for me as a casual fan, that's where my frustration comes in. It's like
I still feel that they could pull it off. I feel like the things are in place for it too, but I'm definitely going in with a lower expectation than I did with like The Last Jedi. But
yeah, and this is just as a outside observer, it seems like Last Jedi. I mean, I'm not talking about the internet haters, but there's a little bit of a aurora from those that I don't know. It seems like that was sort of a meh film. I mean, not like people hate it, but it's sort of like, oh.
It was very divisive. It kind of, yeah. you had like about half the fan base loved it, and you had about half that really didn't, which is never really a good thing to have that kind of division. But
so going into the next movie,
I mean, it did well.
Like,
I mean, they're all doing well financially. Like,
it's Star Wars.
A ton of
it's still
money.
Star Wars.
So, yeah. So that's why I'm saying I feel like I definitely am still on board to watch the last one of this saga and see how they tie it together. I'm happy J.J. Abrams is back. I think he's, you know, a man with a plan, and we'll see what he does. But at the end of the day, you know, doesn't mean I can't go back and watch another film that I love. You know, I'm planning on watching all of them leading up to it, one a day for the 10 days or so leading up to it, including Solo and Rogue One, just to kind of like refresh it. So I purposely not
been
watching
it. What order do you do it in?
I'm going to do saga era. So episode 1, 2, 3, Solo, Rogue One, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. So basically number order, but adding in Solo and Rogue One where they should
be. So chronological.
Yeah, chronological. Yeah.
In universe. Chronological.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I still haven't seen Solo. That was the first Star Wars movie that I skipped because I was like,
Most looking forward to the transition from Rogue One into Episode 4 is so seamless. It's like watching a giant 4-hour movie. It's great.
Yeah, I can see that. I hope, and I've heard some crazy theories, I hope this last one, they just go bonkers with it and just do something totally unexpected.
Yeah.
I just hope that it's something at least interesting. I think that's the biggest problem now. Star Wars is just boring. It feels boring to me.
Star Wars has taken risks. And I mean, Luke force projecting himself, like that was still, you know, a great moment in the last one. You know, it's not like it doesn't ever take risks, but it's, I don't know. They're touting it as like the movie to wrap up 9 films. Like they're saying it's a big deal.
Is
so
it?
We'll see if they deliver.
Marvel laughs at your 9 film number.
Which then I would be interested, again, I know this is a Star Trek podcast, but anyway, but from a storytelling's point of view, which is really what all this is about, at the end of this, and there doesn't have to be a single answer, but like, whose story is it then? You know, if this wraps it up, what was the story? Like, I mean, it seems, what little I know, you know, with the prequels, the idea was like, well, it's actually Anakin's story.
Right.
You know, and then
the original one was Luke's story.
And it's the Skywalker story, maybe, I guess, you know, is the larger.
I mean, it's 3 stories. Anakin, Luke, and Rey.
But wait a minute, are you saying Rey is a Skywalker? Darren, is that what you're trying to say?
No, but I'm
saying, because the movie's called Rise of the Skywalker.
Well, you know, they named it that, so they can tell us what that means when they get there.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. So we'll see. Hey, on that quick note, I finished the game Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And I will say this, it's the most fun I've had with Star Wars in a while. Great game. Fantastic game. Check it out. I won't reveal any spoilers except to tell Darren that I've killed so many K2SOs. I just chopped them all up and it was fun. So,
like you said, they were kind of tricky because they had a long reach.
Yes, they've got really good range. And it was obviously, it wasn't Alan Tudyk. In fact, I think it was a woman who voiced the droid in this game.
Oh, that's right. There was like a female voice.
Yeah. But it's quite good.
Which kind of makes it
very
creepier.
Good.
So.
I don't want to say anything about the ending, but it was very good. I will say that. And then, so to kind of wrap it back around to Star Trek and talk about what Philip was talking about earlier with Star Trek Online, I played a bit of the Deep Space Nine expansion today.
Ooh.
Which is called Victory is Life, which they literally won't let you forget because they say it every 2 seconds. Every other line, it's Odo saying, victory is life, victory is life, victory is life.
Odo says it.
Well, Odo is, so he's like, every time they do one of these expansions, they take a character from Star Trek, and it's kind of like the central character of the narrative.
We have a voice.
It's Odo this time. Yeah. Well, they actually sounded like they got the voice of most of the actors. Aaron Eisenberg is in it. Nana Visitor is in it. I talked to Bashir, but I don't remember if I heard his voice. Anyways, it's really interesting because it gets all the principal characters back on Deep Space Nine. And
then blows up Nog's ship.
Except for Sisko. Except for either Sisko. Jake's not there either.
There's a third Sisko. And there's a fourth, because by marriage.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they're not on there either. As far as I know, Garrick was there. You can try to talk to Morn. Quark, not Quark.
Oh, they brought Morn back for this?
Yes. Well, he's just sitting in the same spot.
I mean, they hired the voice actor? Like the same one?
Well, you talk to him and he just gives you an ellipses. So I guess he wasn't feeling very talkative that day.
Oh.
Anyways, interesting choices. We should do a 8th season Deep Space Nine episode one time. But like, they made Kira Kai, which is strange to me. Like, I wouldn't go that way ever.
Well, they kind of did that in the documentary, right?
Well, because didn't they have in the provisional government, you had like a prime minister or something, or was it literally just the Kai
first
was
minister
the number one?
No, she was Kai. She was.
But I'm saying remember if there was like another high.
Well,
level
the theocracy,
position.
If we want to get started on that. But anyway,
we don't. In fact, we're not talking about Bajor at all because we don't want to put our listeners to sleep. So we will move on to
Daniel
our topic.
Has rules.
I have standards, people. So I actually did want to talk about a specific Star Trek species and planet.
Plan B?
One that has not... One, you could call it that. One that hasn't had a lot of focus or a lot of tension, but that seems pretty important in terms of Star Trek canon. I want to talk about the planet of Beta Zed and the Beta Zordians.
the Beta Zed. Yeah.
Well, wait, I don't know. Daniel may be exploring more to the species. It's like there's the Bajorans and then there's the...
So I want to talk about this in a lot of different ways, but it's going to be loosely formed here. So I want to just get a brief sort of, what are your opinions of the Beta Zeds? What do you think of when you think of them? Is it like just Troy? That's where your mind goes. Are you interested in them at all? Do you care? Like, what do you guys think about this species?
Well, I think, as we are diving into their society, it always felt like, we get little glimpses of it and it sounded like a very peaceful place, but it just felt very unrelatable because it's like, we obviously don't have telekinetic powers, but now I want to see a Federation ship that's just completely crewed by Betazoids and they literally don't use, like, there's no
Beta
communication officer.
Stop saying it.
Wait, so it's Beta Zeds?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
She's Beta Zed.
Yeah. Well,
she's
Beta.
Not
Beta, well, Memory Alpha says Beta Zoid, so. But all that to say, I think it'd be cool if we had a whole ship crewed by those people, and that way, and they're just like reading each other's thoughts as they, are flying over the controls. I think that'd be a really interesting shot.
I imagine that the dress code for that ship would be pretty relaxed.
They keep the temperature very high. It's hot in there. But it's one of those things, once you said we were going to talk about this, I think we don't know as much as we think we do about the planet or the society. I mean,
I don't think
we don't
we
get
do.
Much. And like, to me, at first blush, if you will, it's almost like, if you took Ryza and then Earth and then like put them together and they're sort of like, so it's not like,
that's what it kind of always felt like, a dash of
planet,
Ryza,
but it's not sex planet. But then you sort of have
so a little
weird
bit of
rules.
Justice planet is what you're saying.
Because they have these weird things they've introduced. So they have arranged marriages. That's kind of different. Or we're just pretending Haven didn't happen. I don't know. And then how does telepathy work? Like, in other words, I don't know if they've clearly established, is it just like sight? Which maybe that's the limit. So like on the ship, you can only communicate through sight. And then
We have Suter from Voyager. It was Suter, right? And he seemed to, like, if he wasn't focused, he was hearing the entire ship even when he was in one corner of it. Like, it definitely didn't ever feel like a line of sight. It felt like a proximity, yes, but proximity regardless of bulkheads.
I can't, because I'm sort of getting too much Babylon 5 telepath, and I'm trying to remember what Beta Zeds are like, and I just don't know we've ever gotten that much because I'm trying to think, you know, it's Troy's usually obviously our best person, but again, she's only half, but there's been times where, you know, she's sort of gotten the full thing. So like, I'm trying to think, you had the tea incident, which I know is not her, you know, sensing everyone in the world, but you know, it was sort of blocking her. And then I'm trying to think even the one eye circling the what?
Oh yeah.
The floating in dreams.
Yeah.
What the hell, hydrogen. What the hell was it?
The trippy yeah. dream episode.
What is the name of that episode?
I don't know. But anyway.
Where are you?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But anyways.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll talk about Troy specifically, but I wanted to...
Troy's.
Oh, the Troy. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Including Mister. But the thing is, like, the problem with telepathic ability as just an ability narratively, storytelling wise, it's broken. Like it's so fundamentally different than what we know as interactions that it fundamentally changes everything. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Like, what would a planet of people who had no shame or embarrassment or anything to hide? There was no deception or lies. There's no way
deception,
that you could.
Deception, lies.
Well, it's interesting, Daniel, because it makes me think of another book series from my youth. I don't know if you ever read the Animorph books.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
And I was just, it came across my mind today because I believe once they all, because I forget, it was like a little alien something or, so I don't remember exactly how they got the powers, one of the things that came with it was everyone on the team was instantly telepathically linked and they had no way to turn it off. And I remember them describing that because, you know, humans we're not socially or any way built to handle that. But basically it was like this wave of embarrassment replaced by like a wave of understanding, like almost immediately, like, yes, you knew everything about the other person, but because it was that two-way street where they also knew everything about you, like, you quickly got past the whole no secrets thing. But it was just one of the few pieces of fiction I can think of that actually kind of talks about that.
I never finished watching it, and this wasn't because it was bad, just because, you know, sometimes you just don't keep watching. Sense8, which sort of started with that sort of random telepathy of you have another person and you just sort of... You know, I don't know if y'all watch that.
JMS. I've heard of it. I haven't caught it, but.
And so, like, you'd have scenes where, like, somebody in India was doing something and suddenly they were in a pub in, you know, Germany because they were fixed to this one person and, you know, and vice versa and all these things. So, but I don't think Star Trek has ever really embraced a telepathic storyline. I'm saying this and I'm probably wrong as I say it. I mean, you know, an episode or two, but not really.
Well, I was going to say Attached is a very... is that kind of a thing, but yeah. But it's very light, and obviously it's mostly for fun.
Like, contrasting to Babylon 5, which, Daniel, I know you haven't seen. But anyway, very heavy on telepath and what that means and what they're like, and cross-species telepaths, and for good, for ill, for all that, blah, blah, blah. So get a little more taste of what it's like to be a telepath in that world, universe. But yeah, what would Beta Zed... Like, what that society would be like, you know. What do they do? I mean, I'm sure, like, normal stuff, but, like, I mean, we get Ambassador. But, I mean, like, you know, what do you do on Beta Zed? They can't all be philosophers and poets and...
It's, yeah.
Well, if someone's writing a book, do they just walk around and people are like, oh, good book. Like, it just kind of filters in, you know, like a Kindle whisper sync.
Everyone's
like,
a critic.
Is that what's going on in their heads?
The thing is, like, again, it's just such a, like, groundbreaking, like, fundamental shift from what we understand about how communication works, about interpersonal relationships. Like, it makes sense to me that they would all be open lovers and everybody would be naked and there would be no shame or anything like that sort of thing.
Symbolic.
The arranged marriages thing seems a crazy departure from that. The thing is, like, some of it works. And I think a lot of the Lwaxana stuff, like poking fun at Picard because, like, she can, because she knows he can't call her out.
And she can read his mind, but he can't read hers.
Yeah, yeah. That sort of stuff works really well, but some of it feels like it's not been well thought out or well out planned. Like, having having the Loxana or suitor on your ship breaks a lot of the tension. Like we get Troy and she says, I sense he's being deceptive or something is strange. But if she could just say, oh, he's got a phaser behind his back or whatever, all the tension is now gone from the situation. It's so easy to just resolve that. So, you know, even the X-Men dealt with this problem by giving Magneto a stupid helmet to wear, because you can't constantly have your adversaries knowing
it's like, oh, I have, you know, we have jet fighters and you have like sailing ships, like who's gonna win, you know? You can't.
But guys, let me spin. And even like TNG season 8, the Dark Troy saga, come on, that would have been
but you know, it's interesting. Writer is Cyclops. I'm trying to think of other species that have telekinetic ability. Because it almost makes you think you would start to have like an arms race or something.
Well, we know like, way more about Vulcan telepathy than we know about Beta Zed telepathy.
That's true. And they're more touch telepaths, right?
I mean, ish.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's somewhat inconsistent, but
Discovery has. Yeah.
No. I mean, yeah, we can astral projection. Because I was even thinking of the TOS, like, even though Spock still uses his hand, I think it's more of a focus than an actual, of where, like, I think some guard, I can't remember, you know, it's every TOS story, but they're trapped and he uses, like, he is against the wall and the guard comes over because he's telepathy, you know. And so, I mean, but it's, you know, we know way more about Vulcans than Beta Zed, and they're not even really that telepathic, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because smartly the writers are make it nebulous and they put some sort of limits on it,
right,
so that there's ways around it, like narratively for telling a story. But with someone like Loxana, who can just apparently read everybody but Ferengi, which is a really weird blind spot to put into
that's
canon.
True that the fact that they can't read all bipedal sentient
that's
species.
What they're I don't even know what we call them, they're little head shades,
head curtains.
Yeah, they're like they're like Magneto's helmet.
Those are Magneto's helmet.
Magneto's headband.
Yeah, which is what the children of Tamar call. Because I was trying to think, because obviously for story purposes, you always be like, oh, this is a species that I can't read. But I was just thinking, because we know, right, from DS9, the fall of Beta Zed, right. I mean, I know it's a novel,
right?
But it's in the TV show. Right? I mean, they mention it, right? I think. But anyway, like, is there any, like, does the Dominion have any?
I remember that kind of hitting us, but I remember that it felt more like they put that in, to really explain Beta Zeds, but more like that's like a step from Earth, like that's a very Earth-like planet. Yeah, I've heard of that one. Yeah,
and because
the Dominion,
I mean, like,
have it.
Can you read the Jem'Hadar? I think that's an open question. I could, like, if they say you can't, I could accept that. I think you'd have to be able to read the Vorta. Changeling,
the Vorta.
Yeah, Changeling, I would also say you can't read probably. But like, so they would be somewhat defenseless as far as using their telepath. But I think the Vorta you'd be able to read, unless they just cloned a new batch that can't be read or something.
If we try to go for consistency, I would say yes, the Vorta, and I would even say yes, the Jem'Hadar. The difference with the Jem'Hadar is that
victory.
Just yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
So it's kind of pointless. But even then, I feel like say the beta Zeds are like not particularly war focused, I think they would still make formidable enemies because they would be able to know exactly what you're doing before you even do it. Like, I don't think taking over their whole planet would be an easy thing to do if they know what you're about to do, you know, that sort of thing. So, but I don't know. The Borg, I would say, what? No, probably not. They couldn't read the Borg.
I feel like that's an essay there, because it's a mechanical thought process.
Well, are they thoughts, or are they more like, is it like hearing
transmissions?
Does it sound like the dial-up static from an AOL connection?
What was Troy's response to Picard in Best of Both Worlds? I can't remember.
She kind of got like feelings from him, but not.
But that was Picard
specifically.
It wasn't the Borg part.
True.
But that's the thing. All the
that's
Borg.
True. She,
have
well, she
some...
was sensing the human part, and Data was working on the.
But that's the thing. Like, all Borg have some biological element as
true.
Well. So, I guess I don't know that maybe. I don't know. The Borg are an interesting case, I guess. But
that would be interesting. Again, I'm almost thinking Babylon 5, which, again, not to take you out of the conversation, because they use the telepaths as weapons. But anyway, but it makes me think if you had a bunch of powerful Beta Zeds against individual Borg, and I know that's... But, like, could they, you know, freeze them, possibly? Or, you know, because they're trying to bring out the individual? Or could they even be used to... bring people back from the collective. Like, you know, it seems to me, and we don't ever talk about this.
Kinda doesn't care.
No, well, yeah, the Federation's like, oh, we saved Picard. Done. We don't need to do that ever again. Kill all Borg! Kill all Borg! Kill all Borg! I'm like, well, I think we could save them. No? Okay. F it. But, like, if there was an actual Federation Borg rescue program, you know.
Well, I felt it always was established that Picard had just... because he had been recently assimilated, that there was kind of like a window before he was gone.
It'd be terrible if there was someone who was assimilated as a kid, and then you waited until they were...
seven. That's true. Yeah, but it took years.
Yeah, ish. Well, I mean, it took a two-parter.
Right, and some tight clothing.
But then years, you know, for the full reassimilation.
Right, that's what I meant, yeah.
But they didn't have a counselor on board. It was complicated. They killed their only Beta Zed, so.
That's true.
Yeah, they did. And that was a full Beta Zed. And...
which they didn't really use, by the way. I mean, I know we talked about Suter, but he didn't, like, that. Whatever story point of, like, he's Beta Zed, why? I don't know, we're talking mind melds. It'll make sense.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier today, and I'm like, Spock is a half human, half Vulcan is a really interesting way to explore the emotional part of humanity. Yeah. And I think you could have done something just as profound and interesting with Troi, to explore a different facet of humanity. You know, like, what is it that we hide from others? Like, what is identity about? What is, like, there's a lot there to kind of, you know, deal with. And she could have been just that important of a character, but they do that, unfortunately. But I think if we're true to what the idea, even if she's only an empath, if she's a half telepath or whatever,
right,
I think that's still interesting and neat, and kind of like, how does she handle it? Like, when she goes home, she doesn't talk at all. Like, she's just everything with her brain, and then she comes back and it's everything's, you know what I mean? Like, you could have episodes about that sort of stuff.
Well, there is some questions, you know, when you think about it. So, A, why do Beta Zeds talk? Like, at all. How can they talk? Like, evolutionary, yeah. You know, at some point, why does this have to happen anymore? Right. Something else I thought about, and because it's unexamined, we don't know how much to think about it, but there's obviously some hierarchy on Beta Zed because of Loxana's chalice, golden, you know, the litany.
Chalice of Riggs, the
holy rings of Beta Zed, you know.
All that good stuff.
Yeah,
we don't hear, like, do they have a president? Is he, like, elected, like, everyone tunes into the same frequency one day?
I told you, when an Anarcho syndicalist commune.
Well, we need 2/3 majority vote on internal matters and a 3/5 majority.
I didn't vote for you.
We don't vote for telepaths.
I don't even know what that's... It's a great question. What kind of, like, if you know exactly what... You can see another person's insecurities and their fears and all their thoughts. What makes them any qualified, you know, more qualified than you to lead? How is that sort of stuff decided? We have no idea. We do know that Loxana is ambassador. She's an ambassador,
right? Though I think
she holds some esteem.
Yeah, and I think it's not that I'm saying y'all don't or the listeners don't, but I think it's important to note because I always forget this. The first time we meet her, she's not an ambassador. It's like the second episode where it's like, we have a new ambassador. Oh, hey, it's Loxana. Remember her? So she was just, I don't know what she was. Someone important, obviously. But again, suggests a hierarchy. You know, she's a rich person, you know, whatever that means in Beta Zed society.
Yeah.
She's nouveau royalty. I don't know how it works.
So let's focus on the Troys for a bit.
Now, when you say Troys, do you mean the Troys, or the Troys?
Mm-hmm.
The Troys.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All included. Like the big spinoff family. So that's going to have everybody. That's going to have...
Riker?
It would have Riker, absolutely. And the new kid! There's a kid now.
Yeah, I know.
Which would be a quarter Beta Zed, which would make them not an empath, but somebody who can sense.
What are they going to even sense?
They're a mood ring. They can sense.
Do they turn colors?
They're just like, you are angry.
He's blueberry. Oh, no. Mom's on the rampage.
It's a horoscope. You are feeling not yourself today.
Beware people totally... named Shannon. That's all I got for you.
That's funny. That's actually a really interesting question. What if any, like, ability to...
Well, I was just thinking, and sorry, I'm not trying to derail, but with Riker, because I'm thinking Encounter at Farpoint, he hears, hand quotes, he hears Deanna. And I was trying to think, is there another example of somebody getting a telepathic transmission from a Beta Zed?
Yeah, Picard gets it from Wuxana, right? I'm pretty sure.
Does she? I mean, I'm not saying no. I just
can't remember.
God, now you're going to make me question.
She usually says it out loud, doesn't she? Because then my subsequent follow up, if this is so, and I could be wrong, Deanna presumably trained Will. but then again, so how can you be? And again, she's not even a full telepath, right? Though, was he, and I'm mixing up the motion picture, was he stationed on Beta Zed, or is it just not, they were just together somewhere, we don't know where.
I think
in the book
was.
Series, he was.
Yeah,
In Zadi.
I think he was.
But I don't know if it's an on-screen canon, you know, but.
I just watched the one canon scene from Beta Zed. Can you guys name that episode?
Menage a Troy.
That's right, Menage a Troy, which I should go watch because it's a great episode. It's so silly. He did mention that he had been there before.
Actually, there's a second one. Isn't Dark Page?
Yeah,
that
Dark
takes
Page.
Place all on the Enterprise. Doesn't that take place entirely on
with
the
Enterprise? With flashbacks to the river.
That's true. And... It's flashbacks, but I don't think they go there.
Okay.
I thought it was all in the holodeck.
No, I don't.
It's in
that's
Troy's
what I'm
dreams.
We're agreeing that they don't. We're saying... He's saying you see flashbacks of Beta Zed, but not they don't actually
go
there.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So.
Sorry.
Yes. Anyway. Sorry. So yeah, he mentioned that he had been there before. I can't specifically remember the line if he had said like when I was a young lieutenant, but yeah. So he had been there with those singing flowers and stuff.
I was like, am I misremembering that?
We need to stop doing the singing flowers thing. I feel like it's been overdone. But
it's an alien world, Daniel. How is he going to know? It's like evil people have goatees. I mean, you know, it's the basics.
So what do we... I don't know. It feels like a problem for Star Trek to me. Like, oh, by the way, I did want to mention this because we kind of brushed onto this earlier. There's a reference to... Beta Zed in Discovery.
Okay.
And Harry Mudd claimed to have robbed a bank on Beta Zed.
Oh, that's
using
right.
a time crystal.
Uh-huh.
My question is, do you think that Harry Mudd has, even with a time crystal, do you think it's possible to rob a bank? And secondly, isn't that the coolest idea ever? Like I would love for like a con man to constantly try and fail because everybody can just read his mind. How does he get around that? That's like an interesting kind of, I think, like a story idea.
There. Well, is he wearing the Andorian Magneto helmet?
Maybe. I don't know.
Also that they have a bank. I mean, I'm not trying to, but like, so that's a thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't
think
there would be
banks. They
also
don't wear clothes
either.
When they get married. So, I mean, that's... We have yet to talk about that, but
yeah. Would you wear clothes at all if not for the warmth and for the shame,
or the fashion?
I feel like that
the fashion. Yeah, I do feel like the fashion should be a part.
Look, I mean,
maybe like hats?
A bow tie? Come on now.
Yeah, a bow tie? Maybe like a scarf or... I don't know. It's interesting. If we didn't have the survival need and there was no social need, which they have no social need, I guess is what I'm saying is you're removing the social need for clothes. Would you wear them?
Mm. Well, I mean, there's the... And whether it's justly earned, the stereotype, as Tom Paris shares with us, is that they are a sensual people, you know. Which, I mean, just having naked weddings, I don't think necessarily makes you a sensual people.
Maybe because they are so in tune with each other?
Well, I think... Yes. Well, I was just trying to think, because there's no... And shame's not the right word. Inhibition might be the better right word. Since there's no inhibition, it can be a bit sort of Edo of like, hey, I'm into you, you're into me, let's go. You know, because you know, right? You know, and so...
Well, yeah, it's the thing is, it's complete honesty. There's no, there's nothing behind...
They don't date a lot. Maybe that's why they have arranged marriages, because you can't date on Beta's head, right? I mean, think about dating. It's like, I'll get to... Okay, we know each other now. And, You know what I want. I know what you want. We're either compatible or we're not, you know? And so.
Yeah, I don't think marriage would do well on that planet.
That's right. That's why you just arrange it. It's just easier.
Yeah, that feels like the weirdest inclusion to Beta Z society that we know. But.
And I almost, again, I'd have to watch again. Not that I really want to. But I almost get that it's a traditional thing. But I mean, in a not that you have to do it. But it's more like, oh, we decided to... Observe the Beta Z tradition, whether it's, right. You know, the gong or arranged marriages.
Well, even like Luoxana's spiel about all of her titles and stuff feels kind of contrary to what you would think that society would be about, right? This pomp and bluster and sort of ego-filled sort of thing. That's not what you would do if... You know what I'm saying? You don't have to hide behind seven layers of titles. Right. You just, I don't know, like if I'm a telepath, I don't know Luoxana as the seventh holder of the eighth ring of chalice or whatever. I know where is Luoxana. I know who Luoxana is as a person. Her title is meaningless to me because I know what's behind it all.
And I'm trying to think, and I don't know whether this is a canon line in Deep Space Nine from Luoxana or even... a Troy line in TNG, or possibly from the novel verse, because, I mean, I've read a couple Troy stuff, where it's like, oh, you know, we just keep those rings in a box in the closet, you know, there's no big deal. But more that I think about it, and I'm sure there's a better example, but the closest that I can think of is Great Britain, where you have this traditional monarchy and nobility, but in the modern world, it's you know, you can participate in that if you want, but that's not who they are. So it's like Luoxana is sort of like a peer, you know, she's part of the House of Lords, but, you know, regular Beta Z society doesn't necessarily have to be into all that.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see that.
They probably have a monarchy. I mean, I think it's probably symbolic.
You think there's a queen?
Yeah.
A king?
Yeah, I think in Memory Alpha it says it has matriarchal elements, but it's very vague. Again, we really
I think
needed
it's just cause, yeah.
Like more Beta Z episodes.
Well, the only other one I can think of, and I'm sure there's more than this, is the principal from Sunnydale, who has the big alien monster, Tin Man.
Oh, Tim. Oh, Tim, yeah. Elbrin.
Yes. So.
Oh, and the other guy. The guy from the Dream Troy episode.
Yeah. He was a Beta Zed that was PTSDing or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like, like, it's fun to give different species different abilities because then, you know, you can use them in interesting ways. It's fun that Odo is a changeling because you can make him into a potted plant, which could be either used for fun or for suspense or for whatever. It's like the X-Men. It's cool to see somebody with a new power. The problem is that it can be dangerous and it can break the narrative sometimes. So, like, I guess my question to you is, I feel like Beta Z is already a pretty important part of canon. Do you want to see a new one on Picard's ship? And how would you deal with the potential issues of, hey, we're encountering this guy who's very deceptive and it's Shinzon. Oh, wait, Shinzon's a terrible person. He wants to kill everybody on Earth. Now we know what he's trying to do. Right. Send in the cavalry kind of thing. How do you stop your stories from breaking down at that point? So what do you guys think?
Oh, I think you make the Beta Zed a non-bridge officer. And I only say that half jokingly. So like if there's a Beta Zed chief engineer, you know, they're not getting the view screen bad guy time. But you still get to explore a character and their culture.
Okay.
I mean, are they going away team? Maybe they'll like, but then again, I think, and this is a terrible example, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's kind of like the, oh gosh, I forgot our species. Deltas? That's not.
Deltans.
Lieutenant, thank you. It's like the Deltans. Ilea, they take an oath of celibacy, right? Which I know is different.
So maybe like an oath to not read your mind without
an oath
knowing.
Of privacy?
Hey, that's actually kind of a cool idea. What do the Betazoids think? What are their attitudes towards people who are non-telepathic? Maybe they have telepathy prime directive where they can't, like, you're not allowed to read people's
Is it more
minds.
Of a prime guideline, though?
That's a cool idea. That's an interesting thing.
So their oath of not reading your mind because it would be bad. I mean, it's a better word than that, but, you know, basically.
And I think, and again, I'd have to watch them again, which might actually be interesting to do a Loxana watch, especially with Deep Space Nine. But I think to an extent, Deanna... And again, I'm making this up, maybe. Deanna says that because that's why you never know whether Loxana is teasing Picard or not, because she's really not supposed to be reading him. And the only time that she kind of reads someone without their permission is when she's on her, for lack of a better word, Beta Zed menopause, and she reads the Antedians. But like that's just sort of like she's going at like times 50, and she's in the same room, like, oh, yeah, those guys are liars, you know, and just...
yeah. Yeah, that's actually a really kind of cool concept that they never super explored. Like, the Betazoids, oh God, they wouldn't understand the concept of privacy.
The Betas, we'll just call them the Betas.
What's the Betas? Privacy is a thing that's foreign to them. It does not exist in their society. There
I
is
feel
no
like this
privacy.
Is a Deep Space Nine thing. Like, there's something, like, what is privacy? I feel like, was that with the prophets or something? Or something? I feel like this has come up before.
It may have, but I don't
know. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. That, you know, this conversation has led to some pretty interesting topics here, but I'll give you guys the closing words. More Betazoids, less Betazoids.
What are they known for? I mean, again, I don't want to stereotype this piece.
Like, are they in the
Trek
diplomatic
does.
Corps or like are what they, is there?
Well, because like Deanna, you know, not surprisingly, is into psychology. You know, she's Italian. It makes so much sense. But I mean, like, you know, because we stereotype in Star Trek, unfortunately, we shouldn't, but we do. So, like, Klingons are warriors. And Dorians are kind of warriors, too. I don't know. It's sort of a spectrum, I suppose. You know, but Bajorans are religious. You know, so, like, Beta Zeds, I mean, mind readers. But, like, what is, like, you know, when they joined the Federation, what were they? Like, here's our warp engines. You know, I don't know. What are they giving up? They have really good soap operas. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I do think that their abilities are...
If you're RPGing as a Beta Zed, what's your plus, you know, whatever? What are you bringing to the table?
I would say...
high intellect, I get that.
Intelligence, I'd say.
Psi factor, right, I get that. Yeah.
I mean, talking your way out of situations...
Oh, persuasion? You're going to have good
persuasion.
Yeah. Charm. Possibly. Now, are there... And this is just making up question. Are there any, like, telekinetic Beta Zeds? Or is it just
that's a good question.
Mind reading?
No, I think they're just...
They feel so bad they have to touch they have to push their own buttons on the ships that they pilot. They can't just think it.
Are there any telekinetic species in Star Trek at all?
I think we see that. I mean, well, Q...
Well,
that's complicated.
He has all the abilities, so that doesn't count. But Q would be another interesting species.
There's the Husnock, the great and powerful.
The great and powerful Kevin.
Great and powerful.
Oh yeah, he's also Q-like.
But he wasn't.
Count.
The Husnock were the bad guys.
All right, so let's close this thing up. Philip, was there any Beta Zeds in The Picard, the first Picard comic episode there?
No, but I mean, I mean, I'm on board if there's in the Motley Bridge crew or the ship crew that we see in the trailers, the young people, if you will, all younger than me, probably. It'd be cool if one of them was a beta set.
It's kind of hard to tell, I imagine, especially in a comic, because the only physical difference is the very, very just big black irises, right? That's the only way to tell.
I think that means they're poisonous.
Who knows? Maybe one of them was. Nice. All right. Okay. All right. So let's wrap this thing up, guys. It was fun talking about Beta Z culture and Beta Z people. Something I don't think that Star Trek has spent enough time on, and I hope they will, you know, in the future. Well, you know, one way or another, through books or television or
animated series or the 50 other TV series coming up.
Hey. Yeah, they certainly, there's no shortage of time coming up in Star Trek. So I guess we'll see. I'm sure we'll see more than one reference to them. So they feel like, to me, they feel like, you know, wave one of the Federation is, of course, the Tellarites and the Vulcans and the humans and the Andorians. But I feel like they feel like part of wave two.
They're your expansion pack. I mean, you got to pay extra, but.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe they were part of the Space Louisiana Purchase. I don't know.
Gosh. But they are downloadable
your
content.
Your planet is being annexed by the United Federation of Planets. Welcome. And it just happened that their ambassador they sent to take over was, like, really smooth, and they're, like, reading his mind, like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see the reasons, yeah.
Who knows, maybe. So yeah, I guess, Darren, how would people find you if they wanted to talk to you? I mean, I guess they could just reach out with their mind's eye, like the Jedi do. But if they wanted to find you on the internet,
they're not Jedi. That's not a thing. Yeah.
So how would they get a hold of you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And Philip, you're way down south. Down there, so I don't know if telepathy reaches that far for most of our listeners. How would they get a hold of you as well?
Well, with my Blue Yeti microphone, it's like basically having a Magneto helmet. So, but they can reach me with the primitive typing in Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And if they wanted to get a hold of me as well, they could find me on Twitter, 1UpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in. Sorry, guys. Suitor is the number one. Mm-hmm. But that's it for this week. We will catch you all next week. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser. But you already knew that.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha Z.